Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can get that anywhere you get your favorite apps, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Look for the Odyssey app, orange background with a big white A. Download it. Once it's there, you go into it, you search for WILK News Radio, you favorite us, and that's it. You got us anywhere, anytime, any place. Pure digital bliss, works seamlessly with your CarPlay, and don't have to worry about if you're in range or not, or switching to from FM to AM, or whatever you need to do, going through the mountains here. So how's everyone doing on this Thursday, June 26, 2025? It was a trip coming in today. I've dealt with a lot of harsh weather, but for a while there, it was wild. It was coming down hard, You know, I didn't have the little car. I have, the new F-150. And, watching the vehicles, the cars, and even the trucks, everybody was down. Everybody was doing a good speed. There were a couple accidents. One was on the on-ramp at Dixon City coming on to 81. Looks like that they didn't see someone in the right lane, and there was a couple cars there, three or four involved. And then there were a lot of lights and sirens going up north and a couple accidents up by Scott Township and such like that. But from the moment I left the house and got down my road, it was like a bright, heavy rain. It wasn't dark. Like, it didn't get dark like it normally does with the dark rain clouds. It was a bright rain. But, was it coming down. Big drops. Had the windshield wipers on as high as they go. And it was pretty much like that from my exit 202, all the way down to just past Dixon City. And then after that, it was spotty. Like, it broke up here and there. And then when I was on the other side of Scranton near the Scranton Expressway, just before Montage and stuff like that, you could see the dark clouds were on the north side of the valley. The south side of the valley was okay. And then here at the studio, we had a downpour, but really nothing crazy. But be careful out there, because I was just looked at the radar. There are spotty showers. There is a flood advisory till midnight tonight for Lackawanna and Luzerne County and a couple other surrounding counties. But that's our main listing area, so I'll give it to you. But there is a flood warning. There was plenty of runoff, plenty of pooling on the highway. It was so bad that the northbound traffic on 81 was sending waves, sheets of rain, of water over the divider onto the left lane of the southbound that would kind of block your vision for a couple seconds till your windshield wipers caught up. So it was too much for the gutters and for the drainage system on the highway. But it was not unexpected. Like I said, there is a flood advisory that was put out earlier today, and for rightfully so, because it was definitely pooling up on the sides of the road. You could see that the water was overtaking the ditches on the shoulders of 81. So be careful out there, because it's going to be rain on and off for a while today. I'll pull up the radar here so I have it handy for you, but take your time getting there. Slow down. Thankfully, most people were doing just that. It slowed down to 15, 20 miles an hour. Yeah, it looks like there's some rain up by Scott Township, Clifford, Carbondale area. Looks like there's also out in Ricketts, Milford, and such like that. So there is rain moving through our area that's coming across. So just be careful. East Stroudsburg is getting hit. But once this passes, the cool front's supposed to be in a little bit. Really nothing crazy as far as cooling goes, but it is 82 degrees now, so a little cooler than it's been the past couple of days. So this is what summer's about. But it was some treacherous rain. Surprised me. And I'm pretty used to stuff like that. So for the show today, at 4 o'clock, we're going to have retired Rear Admiral James McNeil and retired Navy veteran Eric Smith on their newest book called Crucibles, and how formidable rites of passage shape the world's most elite organizations. It's a new book they have out. I have dove into this, and I'll be honest, I kind of started in the middle because they do cover the Marine Corps as one of the dozen or so organizations that they cover about, what rites of passage, what crucible do they have as to be a part of their membership. And they cover everything from the Knights Templar to the Marine Corps to the NASA space program to the Mafia. And it doesn't cover the things you would think that books today, the popular stuff like Navy SEALs or MARSOC or Green Berets, special forces. It covers more of the off the beaten path. And it's one of the things I like about the book, because I think the others have been beaten to death as far as, you know, the coverage and the publicity they've gotten. And their own communities don't like all the attention they've been getting. Ask them. They'll tell you exactly that. So we're going to talk to them at the 4 o'clock hour. I'm going to have both authors on to talk about this book. I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully you stick around at the 4 o'clock hour for that. I just did see that John Fetterman, this is just a couple minutes ago, John Fetterman said he is going to vote no on the effort to restrict Trump's war powers. There is an effort in the Senate and in the House, but more so the Senate, to restrict the commander-in-chief's ability to make strikes. And this is covered under the War Powers Act. And any restriction of that is a bad idea. We need to have freedom to have a commander-in-chief to make decisions. This was obviously, the more we look at it and the more we see the results now of a ceasefire between Iran and Israel. We're going to talk about the Ayatollah of Iran saber-rattling today, but it was such utter nonsense that it's comical unless you live in the little bubble of Iran. But if you see the results, this was precisely the right move to make at the right time. And if you look back at five or six former presidents, they all said that this should be done. If you go back to presidential candidates, they said that if Iran gets this close, that they should be bombed. But now someone actually had the fortitude to do it. It was done successfully with zero casualties to Americans. And we see the results of it. Peace, right? So John Fetterman says he's going to vote no. And his quote was, "I'm going to vote no on the simple on that simply because I would never want to restrict any future president to do this kind of military exercise that was very successful." And he's 100% right. And when John Fetterman is 100% right, you have to think about how wrong mainstream Democrats are when they, simply because they don't like this president, will spite future actions that would save Americans, that would save, could save the world, because of who they don't like there now. And they've done this time and time again. I mean, look at the Harry Reid nuclear option. They've regretted it since that day. They got what they wanted at that time, and they were warned, you don't want to do this because you're setting a precedent you can't live with. And they've proven that. When they talk about, you know, expanding the Supreme Court, when they talk about, you know, a lot of things, that doing away with the filibuster is another one. You know, they are going to pay the price for that just as much as they think Republicans will now, because one party's not going to be in power all the time. So I applaud Senator John Fetterman and, again, agree with him that this is the wrong move to make. You want to debate it? There's laws already in place that restrict what a president can and can't do. That was followed. Now, the fact that you don't like what was done, that's a different story. That's your legislative duty to possibly change that. But this is not being done because of that. This is being done because of simply who they dislike in that position now. Because when Barack Obama, president at the time, dropped 29,000 bombs and drone strikes, there was peeps from this very same people. So that's some breaking that came out now of John Fetterman, and I read you his quote that he said, I'm going to vote no on this simply because I would never want to restrict any future president to do this kind of military exercise that was very successful. I just did see also the general in charge of CENTCOM just flew to the Air Force base where the B-2s are stationed to meet them personally and congratulate them on a mission well done. And for a general in charge of CENTCOM, I think he's a three-star general, to travel all the way. Well, CENTCOM's based in Tampa, Florida, but they, you know, their area operation is the Middle East. So who knows where he was coming from. But if he was from Tampa, again, going across half the country to meet the pilots and the air crews that made this 36-hour flight, first of its time. And one of the things I was talking to some people yesterday, when they got the word to do this mission. Well, basically, let me walk it back a little bit, how this works. The powers that be decide this is what they want to do, and they give them the objective. We have this target, here's all the intelligence on this target. It's underground. It's hardened. It's in the middle of Iran. It's in a hostile area. Could be hostily defended. Come up with a plan on how we would strike this. And it goes to those in that squadron, the experts, those pilots, their commanders. And they come up with a plan. And that plan is then sent back to the powers that be and said, okay, this is what we suggest be done. And this is how you do it. And they look at it. They run it by their staffs there. They run it by their experts. And they go, okay, here's a few changes we want. Here's additions. Here's, it looks good. You guys are the one doing it. Prepare for it. And then they start preparing for this mission. Where are they going to need? And I cannot even get into the details of the preparation of this because there's so much. You know, where do different tankers need to be at different times? What support aircraft need to join up with us at a certain time? Let's get our Navy attaché in from the submarine corps because we're going to need a submarine to surface to launch 30 Tomahawk missiles just before we enter Iranian airspace so their bombs and our bombs strike at the same time because one can't come more than a second or two more than the other because it'll give a heads-up warning. Then they get those pilots and their crews put all that data in their simulators, and they fly that mission. A full 36-hour mission in a simulator. So those pilots flew this mission, I would say more than twice, probably three or four times, but they at least, at a minimum, did it once, where they flew this entire mission in a simulator the entire time, just like they were in combat. And so did everyone else involved with this mission. And in that simulator, I'm sure there were different scenarios where they did encounter anti-aircraft artillery. They did encounter hostile aircraft that challenged them. They did, because they have to plan for every scenario. So if you think 36 hours in a plane going on a mission like this is something else, realize in the days leading up to this, they did this mission probably three or four times in simulators to make sure it was done perfect. Because when you strive for perfection, which perfection will never be obtained, you will reach excellence. And I think this was an excellent mission. Looking at the reports coming out now and the fact that not a single American asset got a scratch, all the equipment worked flawlessly, the bombs worked how they did. Now, these bombs started to be developed for this very facility. These bombs, these GBU 57s or 47s, whatever they're called, were developed for this specific Iranian underground bunker 11 years ago. Came up with the plan that we're going to have to strike this sooner or later, come up with something that can. And they did, and they were tested, and this is the first time they've ever been used. Again, success, excellence. So I'm glad to see CENTCOM leadership head out to the B-2 base to speak to these air crews. I don't like the fact that it came out that any identity factor for who flew this mission. You know, I know there was a lot made about that one of the B-2 pilots was a woman. Great. I think that's outstanding. I think it also puts her life in jeopardy because there can only be so many B-2 pilots, and I'm sure there's enough open source information out there to where you can find out there's maybe two or three B-2, if that many, female bomber pilots to narrow down who this was. So any information like that is detrimental to them, their families, and the missions, future missions. So in an effort to kind of say, hey, this is a great thing, which it is, there's also two sides to that. And I'm sure that that pilot is not very happy that the public, including our enemies, know anything about who flew this mission. So kudos to them. But if you think about what this mission entailed with the men and women that were involved in it, and I know the Secretary of Defense during his press conference this morning, which got pretty heated with press, and it should, because, again, we talked about it. They were rooting for this not to be successful. You know, oh, look, see, you didn't do it really well. you overstated what it did. And then it turns out that it was all nonsense. And now they're trying to, you know, walk it back and play with words, what was said and what were not said. We all know what was said. We were listening to it real time. But he said that, you know, no one's writing about the pilots. No one's writing about the men and women who planned this mission, who developed these weapons, who developed these aircraft for this very reason. And how the world adversaries of the United States are shaking right now because of how successful this was. Because we could do this anywhere, anytime, and there's not much anyone could do about it. So, great work. But if you look at that, they flew this mission 3 or 4 times in either simulators and real time. It just goes to show the type of men and women we have at the tip of our spear, and they are no doubt just that. It's 324 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Some great text messages coming in. JK from Shikshini said, "Hey, Rob, I haven't been able to listen for a while, but was it ever mentioned about the possibility of leaks if Congress was involved in this mission?" JK from Shikshini. Congress wasn't notified till just minutes before this took place. So there was no time for them to leak anything in regards to this. And they haven't been given a briefing after the fact. So there seems to be a good path of where this came from because of the type of intelligence it was coming from DNI, which is the lowest. I did do a little looking yesterday where I said this goes through multiple hands before a final package is put together. It actually goes to 18 different entities. So it goes through 18 different entities when the final package is put together, with all those 18 entities adding their brief to it. So because of they narrowed down to where this came from, they can easily narrow down how many hands this came to. And they have an idea of where it was given to before it was given to the CNN reporter. And again, this is the same CNN reporter that ran with the Hunter Biden laptop is fake, the suckers and losers, and a couple of other things as per the press secretary today. Good people on both sides. So really doesn't have a really good track record. But CNN promoted them, so we'll see. We'll see. And the dossier. The reports have totally been debunked as nonsense. All of a sudden now it's like, oh no, we always said this was preliminary. No, no. You made it seem to the American people like this wasn't a successful mission, that it only set them back a little bit of time. And now everyone's coming out saying, no, they're devastated. And there's not much you could do with that. Joe from Trips Park chimed in also. Imagine our best and brightest spending all the time and effort and money designing a bunker buster. All the bright minds that went into the mission. And some clown in the media tries to tell us the weapons failed with no evidence at all. 100%, Joe. Think about not the military people, the scientists, the engineers, the explosives experts that got into this. And, you know, you have people on TV saying that the weapon was a failure. Not the best feedback you can get, huh? So I believe that members, what do they call it, the Gang of Eight, which are senior members of the Congress and Senate, are being briefed in a top secret setting now on this mission. So from what I saw, this is happening now where the Gang of Eight or senior members of both Congress and the Senate are getting briefed on the mission in SCIF. So there will no doubt be more information brought out once they leave that room. We'll see. It's 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. 82 degrees. It sounds like some rain's hitting the studio now. 3:37. So be careful driving around out there. There is pooling. There is a flood watch in effect till midnight tonight. So if you've been listening to the station, we will have our Scrantastic Spectacular that Odyssey is sponsoring, along with Lackawanna County, the city of Scranton, and a bunch of other entities. We will be broadcasting live. This show will be down there live. I believe the other two stations will be down there. Froggy and KRZ will as well. It is always a good time down there in Courthouse Square to be out there. Hopefully the weather's nice, but if not, there are rain plans in place for the Scrantastic Spectacular concert and fireworks. If rain or other bad weather precludes the planned outdoor concert component of the annual Scrantastic Spectacular on July 3rd, the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic will perform its patriotic repertoire that evening in the Scranton High School Auditorium. And this is not this is the entire Northeastern Pencil Philharmonic. Usually it's just half of the group that performs. So I'm told it'll be outstanding. They always put it on a standing show, but this will be the entire orchestra. So you'll have everyone there. The high school is also serve as a rehearsal space for them of weather July 3rd, but will host a 7:30 p.m. performance should inclement conditions cancel the outdoor or otherwise planned event for North Washington Avenue side of the square. We will be there right next to them. Assuming the weather accommodates, Zambelli Fireworks, a Western Pennsylvania vendor that produces more than 1,600 fireworks and pyrotechnic displays per year, will put on the Scrantastic display beginning at 9:30, launching fireworks from the roof of the Linden Garage downtown. The fireworks show would be held July 5th, also at 9:30 if the weather prevents it on July 3rd. The Scrantastic Spectacular is a free event open to the public. It begins at 4 p.m. and will also feature food vendors, games, bounce houses, kids' activities, live local bands performing on the side stage. And us will be there if the weather permits. If it's inclement weather, we'll be here in the studio for you. If not, we'll see you down there at the Scrantastic Spectacular at on July 3rd. This show starts at 3 o'clock, so we'll be down there before that and do the show live 3 to 6, weather permitting. Again, inclement weather. The Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic will perform in the Scranton High School Auditorium at 7:30. And the fireworks will take place on July 5th, same time, same place, if the weather permits again. So it's good they have an alternate rain destination if this happens. So hope to see you down there. And I'm looking forward to it. It's a great time. It'll be my third year doing Scrantastic, and hopefully the weather's been good the past 2 years, so hopefully we can get it in this year. We've had a little near misses, but nothing that's prevented us from broadcasting live. It's coming up on 3:41 here at the studio. Time for the NEPA Premium Perks. Enjoy this half-off deal for Montage Mountain Water Park. Get a daily pass for only $14.99, half price. Montage Mountain Water Park is open for the 2025 season. Act fast to secure your half-off day pass. Stay cool this summer and have a blast. Located at 1000 Montage Mountain Road in Scranton, visit getmyperks.com for all the details. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So, great news for our veterans in Luzerne County. Veterans who are disabled from a service-related injury and didn't serve during wartime are now eligible to receive an exemption from Luzerne County property taxes. County Council unanimously voted to expand the tax exemption to non-wartime veterans at the meeting this past Tuesday. The state constitution provides an exemption from all property tax to disabled veterans who serve in any war or armed conflict. The county resolution approved Tuesday does not apply to school or municipal property taxes, just your county tax. Council postponed a vote on the resolution at its June 10th meeting after Assistant Solicitor Jarrett Ferrantino provided a legal opinion that counties do not possess the authority to independently alter eligibility criteria for these exemptions. Ferrantino concluded changes would require an action by the General Assembly or a reinterpretation of existing law by the appropriate state agencies. At the June 10th meeting, Councilwoman Leanne McDermott said the proposal was based on similar measures approved by other counties in the state. And Councilwoman Joanne Bry Smith said counties are allowed to expand the exemption because the state constitution is the floor, which means we can't take any rights away, but you can add. Great interpretation. And maybe reevaluate your assistant solicitor. Anthony Hall, a disabled veteran who recently moved to Wilkes-Barre 8 months ago, thanked council for a vote to expand the exemption. When addressing the council on May 27th and June 10th, Hall said he did not have to pay property taxes in Georgia and can't afford to pay property taxes on his Wilkes-Barre home without an expanded exemption. "Am I my brother's keeper? Yes," Hall said Tuesday. "A lot of people don't feel that way, you know. But like I said, at the end of the day, I keep God first in everything I do. He always takes care. Thank you guys once again. God bless our vets." Around 20 veterans in the county would be eligible for a tax exemption if expanded to disabled non-wartime vets, and that would reduce county tax revenue by roughly $15,000, county officials have said. "I think $15,000 a year is the least we could pay for our disabled veterans who were disabled doing their duty, just not during a wartime. And you have to take into consideration that most of our military." So going back to the story, most of our members of our military are injured during training. More members are killed during training than there are in combat. So if we are expecting our members of our military, our veterans, before they get out, to train like they fight and push themselves to that extreme to take the risks and dangers like they are in wartime, if they get 100% disabled, the least we can do is make their life here after service, once they've gone through the realm of proving their disability and receiving it, a little less burden on their taxes. So great work there. Frantino provided a legal opinion on the county's expansion of the tax exemption in response to the county controller, Walter Gritton, conclusion that it would not be legal. Griffin said a state lawmaker should amend the state constitution to allow the exemption for disabled veterans who didn't serve during wartime. Well, county controller Walter Griffin seems he's trying to pass the buck rather than do something that other counties have already done. According to the State Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, disabled veterans and their surviving spouses are eligible for property tax exemptions if that their veteran discharge under honorable conditions and served during a period of war was determined by the Department of Veterans Affairs. The county does have the right to expand that. And thankfully, Luzerne County made the bold decision to do just that. It's coming up on 3:50, time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 353, 80 degrees. Texter texted in, "Get out the lifeboats, monsoon in Scranton." It sounds like it's raining pretty heavy here. We're under a flood watch until midnight tonight. Take it seriously. The amount of rain that I saw come down on my way in today was incredible, like something I've never seen before, and it sounds like it's doing it again. We've had hot, humid weather the past couple of days. These systems have been building up, and once they blow up, that rain's going to pour out of the sky. So be careful out there. Take it slow. If you don't have to go out, don't. There's plenty of times to do things another day. Another day indeed. That being said, hopefully there's not that much going on in Wilkes-Barre, but I would imagine it's going to rain there or is raining there as well. This massive sinkhole opens up in Wilkes-Barre, nearly swallowing up a tanker truck. Authorities on Thursday were evaluating the extent of a massive sinkhole that opened up on Horton Street the previous evening, nearly swallowing a local construction company water tanker truck that was parked on the street as part of ongoing stormwater sewer system work. Horton Street was closed from Kearney Avenue at the intersection of Jerry's Pizza, to Barney Street on Wednesday night while crews worked to prevent injury due to the sinkhole as well as a large natural gas leak that erupted as a result. Wilkes-Barre Mayor George Brown said the sinkhole emerged while a crew from Stell Enterprises was on the scene to work on a stormwater line that had recently ruptured. Obviously some erosion under the road, right? Stell Enterprise tanker was nearly swallowed by the subsidence, which left its front wheels precariously perched on the precipice. No injuries were reported. First responders on Wednesday night focused on securing the area and prevent injury and further damage. Natural gas and water service was shut off to some homes, as it was some whole homes were temporarily evacuated. Crews with UGI, Natural Gas, and Pennsylvania American Water responded to the scene, as did officials with the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation, as Horton Street is a state road. PA American Water issued an urgent alert warning residents nearby may experience low pressure, discolored and cloudy water. Brown saluted the city's police, fire and public works department for making sure people in the neighborhood were safe. "It's a stormwater issue we're dealing with, not a mine issue," said Brown, who was on scene for several hours. "It's going to be an extensive fix. It was pretty deep. We have to get in there. And this is the area we identified. With this heavy rain, it's not going to make that much better at all. Matter of fact, it could make it worse, especially if there's nothing preventing more erosion from going on, because it is some heavy rain going on, and if there's an issue there to begin with. So if you're in the area, avoid it if you can. If you live in the area, hopefully you will be okay and have alternate plans. I'm watching, it's interesting. The day after the primary in New York, we talked about this mayoral candidate who won the primary, Mamdani. Now all of a sudden, the nation's starting to take notice. It's interesting. I was just contacted by a reporter looking to interview me tomorrow on some statements from posts that I've made on it regarding his defund the police stance. And it gets worse than that. This guy is out of his mind as far as what he wants to do. And he's telling you out loud. He's literally saying what he wants to do. And the mere fact that people are going, okay, let's do this. Let's get this vote. And I understand there was an abysmal showing for the primary. And there are a lot of people that say, don't worry, the general, the numbers won't be there. I truly hope so. But I'm concerned. Some of the statistical runs that I saw said he's got a 74 to 76% chance of becoming the mayor. Here's one of his policies from his own website. Shift the tax burden from overtaxed homeowners to the outer boroughs to more expensive homes in richer and whiter neighborhoods. You heard me correct. That's direct from his website. Shift the tax burden from overtaxed homeowners in the outer boroughs to more expensive homes in richer and whiter neighborhoods. The property tax system is unbalanced because assessment levels are artificially capped, so homeowners in expensive neighborhoods pay less than their fair share. The mayor can fix this by pushing class assessment percentages down for everyone and adjusting rates up, effectively lowering tax payments for homeowners in neighborhoods like Jamaica and Brownsville, while raising the amount paid in the most expensive Brooklyn brownstones. The tax assessment is the tax assessment. It's based on the house value. He wants to take who owns the house's demographic into consideration. He wants to advocate for inclusion of circuit breakers to ensure that low and moderate income homeowners, like many of our seniors living in gentrifying neighborhoods, are not cost burdened by the changes. That's just a couple of this guy's policies. It's going to be incredible. So we're going to keep our eye on that, but it's good that the nation is starting to notice now. But it's going to be a battle, and I don't like the percentages I've seen that this guy could possibly win. And it very little affects me in New York City. This guy becoming mayor in New York City worries and terrifies me. And if he becomes mayor, there is no way I can support a rail service from New York to Scranton. And that's going to be my vocal advocate against here, if that's the case. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We're going to come back with a great interview.